One of the things that has been on my heart and my mind as I've been spending time with God and in His Word over the past couple of years is, how do we honor and revere God, who is a holy God, in a way that honors Him? And so a couple of things have come to mind, and one of those is, how do we do communion? We're not doing communion today, just bear with my thought process. Is communion, how do we make sure that we're honoring God when we take communion, and it's not just a last minute thing or something we throw at the end of the service, but that we're reflecting on the Lord's Supper and what that means for us. And the other piece is the scripture itself, reading God's word. So today, in just a minute, I'm going to invite you to stand as we read the word of God. And part of the reason is, I know we were standing for a while already, and if you're not able, that's okay. But part of the reason that we want to do it is we want to remember and elevate the scripture of God's word. And so that's the reason, the rationale for it, and maybe we won't do it always, but I'm just trying to work through and walk through, how do we make sure that we are revering the holy God in the way that really honors Him? And so this morning, I do invite you to stand, and I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. This is God's word that we are reading, after all, to us, His people. Ephesians 1 to 14. Before we start, I want to mention, I really appreciate the people that are involved in decorating the church on a regular basis. Christmas is my favorite time when you decorate, and I love seeing the trees up, and I'm just drawn to them. So hopefully I'll be able to speak to you guys this morning, but the lights are, they're beautiful, and the tree up there is fantastic. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. So if you are doing any, on a separate note, if you are doing anything in the church, please, and you move some of them, please put them back. The team does take a long time to put this together, and it's done and thought out well. So please take that time. So let's read God's word this morning from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable for the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens and things on earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage, Paul gives us a fantastic view of salvation, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And notice how he ends verse 13. Having also believed, you were sealed him in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so that's where our message begins today, at the moment of believing, when the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ. And this morning we're going to answer three questions that help us understand and live to that reality. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And perhaps you've heard that there is more than one baptism of the Spirit. Secondly, we'll look at what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And then thirdly, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? So firstly, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So when we hear the word baptism, one of the things that comes to your mind immediately is when we have a baptism service up here, and whether it's one or many people are being baptized, we immerse them in water, symbolizing their death to self, and then as we bring them out of the water, just the cleansing of the water into that new life. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't about water. It's about being immersed into Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." That means that the moment that you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit places you into Christ's body. The Spirit unites you with Jesus. His death becomes our death. His life becomes our life. And we belong, you belong to him. Romans 8 verse 9 clarifies it this way. "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God indwells you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." So in other words, there are not two kinds of Christians, one who has the Spirit and one who doesn't. And by extension, it means that there is only one baptism. There is not two baptisms. Because every follower of Jesus has received the Holy Spirit the moment that you were saved, the moment that you believe by faith in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 told us, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge of our inheritance." So when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And that's very clear. Now, one thing that's important for us to understand here is Paul's audience understood adoption a little differently than we understand adoption. We understand adoption to be is either, you know, an extension of our family or creating a family through adoption, or we're responding to orphans. But primarily, the audience that he was speaking to is the adoption of adults. And they were adopted for the purpose of an inheritance or leadership. So if they didn't have any male heirs in their family, if they didn't have any children or didn't have any male children, they would often adopt a male so that somebody would inherit all of their possessions, all of their land, all of those things, or take over their leadership if they had a leadership role. And that meant when they were adopted, and this part is no different than adoptions in our world either, but their adoption meant that they were placed in the family with full status, a new identity, a complete inheritance, all of the rights that come with that. Their old life, in fact, was canceled. If they had any debts or anything that was holding them back, all of that was canceled. Your new father gave you his name. You share in his future. And that's what Paul says about has been done to us in Christ. We are brought into his family, fully brought into his family, with the identity as a follower of a Jesus follower. That's our inheritance and calling of the Son himself. And it doesn't matter, Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free men, and women. So the Spirit baptism is the beginning of life in Christ. One time, that's salvation, and secured by the Spirit's seal. So if every believer has the Spirit of salvation, then why does Paul still command us to be filled with the Spirit? And that brings us to our second question. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? In Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, Paul writes, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wines, for that is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord." Paul gives this command in this passage. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is written in the present continuous tense. And so, in other words, Paul is saying, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's continual. It's ongoing. It doesn't just happen once. The filling doesn't just happen once. The baptism, yes, that is a one-time at salvation event. But the filling is continual. So while Spirit baptisms happens once at salvation, Spirit filling is repeated. It happens repeatedly. The filling of the Spirit isn't about getting more of the Spirit. I want more of the Spirit. It's about the Spirit getting more of you. It's about surrender. To be filled means to be controlled and empowered. It's to live under the Spirit's influence. To be so aware of God's presence, his truth and promises that reside in you, that his reality shapes the way that you and I think, the way that you and I feel, the way that you and I live out our lives with one another. And Paul contrasts this with drunkenness. And it's not about alcohol, but it is about the influence. Both describe being under the influence of something. You and I are always under the influence of something, whether it be of the Spirit or of the world. However, when someone is drunk, alcohol controls their thoughts and their behavior. Alcohol, you know, it dulls your senses. It gives you courage that you may have never had before. It numbs the fears. It numbs the things that are holding you back. But one thing anybody will tell you is that it is only temporary. It is very temporary. It's temporary happiness. However, on the flip side of that, so don't be controlled by that because it's temporary. It's not lasting and it's actually artificial. But Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're under the influence of God. The Spirit brings clarity to reality. The Spirit gives us lasting courage. And if you remember when Peter, he denied Jesus three times, and then all of a sudden he's filled on the day of Pentecost, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he has this boldness to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to people. That's where this comes from. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it reveals who God is to us and is our joy. Joy that lasts, not simply momentary happiness. So to be filled with the Spirit then is to be saturated with God's truth and his presence until he governs your perspective on everything and empowers your life. It's seeing God at work in everything and allowing his truth to steady you, to bring balance, to strengthen you in every circumstance. Allowing the Spirit to fill every corner of your life with the presence of Christ. So if filling is about influence and empowerment, then how do we open ourselves to that work? What does it actually look like in real life? And that leads us to the third question. How do we be filled? Paul's command in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, is in the passive voice. And so that means that this isn't something that we accomplish by our own effort. This is not something that you can do in our own effort. But we have to open up ourselves to receive it. And Paul doesn't say, fill yourselves. What he's saying is, be filled. The language points to a posture of surrender. I love the choice of the songs this morning because there was at least one or two songs where I really noticed the idea of surrender. The language points to posture of surrender. And the surrounding verses in Acts 5, like 15 to 21, they make that posture very clear. Be careful how you live. Understand the Lord's will. Give thanks. Submit to one another. Every one of those postures describes a yielded, surrendered, responsive heart. A life that is open to God. And here's the simple truth. You can't fill a cup that's already full of something. Another way to look at this is to think of your phone. When your phone gets to about 3%, there's a few things that you can do to squeeze a little bit more life out of that thing. Before you can shut down the apps, you can dim all the screen and all of those things. But eventually, the phone just dies. It's not useful to you anymore. It's not connected to the power source. In the same way the Christian life works, we weren't meant to run on our own strength and energy. You and I need to plug into the power source. And the Spirit fills the life that always, always stays connected. Oftentimes, we don't spend a lot of time with the power source, the Spirit, with God in his word, in prayer. And yet we come to a place where we need the Spirit's help and we say, fill me. And yet we haven't allowed room or space. We haven't filled ourselves with the power source. And so like that battery at 3%, it's no wonder that we run out of power at some point. But when you and I come to God with open hands and our heart is uncluttered, the Spirit gladly fills what you surrender to him. Paul says it this way in Romans 6:13. And do not go on presenting the members of your bodies to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's the essence of being filled. Daily, and sometimes momentarily, moment by moment, placing your life before God and saying, fill me. lead me, use me. To be filled with the Spirit is to give up control. That's hard for us. That is really, really hard for us. I know it is. It's hard for us to give up control. Trusting God. Trusting His wisdom over yours or mine. No matter what we face, are we willing to surrender to Him? Or do we always, always need to come up with a plan and ask God to bless it? That's not surrender. It's not surrender at all. But when we surrender, His word becomes alive to us because we're finally ready to receive it. We're finally ready to allow it to impact our lives, to shape our lives, to transform our lives. And that word leads us into prayer, where we ask God to work out that truth in our hearts. And from that place of scripture-shaped, prayer-filled surrender, then obedience follows. That's the natural next step. Not forced, but empowered by the Spirit. And what's the result? What's the result of the baptism of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit on a regular basis, and our surrender? What the Spirit fills, the Spirit changes. What the Spirit fills, the Spirit transforms. When you are filled with the Spirit, your life begins to overflow with joy, with gratitude and humility and love, regardless the circumstances that your life is in at any given moment. You were baptized once into Christ. That's salvation. You are filled often by the Holy Spirit, and that's sanctification. The filling lets Christ's life flow through you. And that's a lot of the point of Ephesians, is that life flows through us to live in community. Being filled and indwelt by the Spirit is becoming the person that God intended for His creative beings, you and I. Maybe today you're at the place where you're realizing there's places in your life that you've kept closed off. If you think of it in terms of rooms, maybe there's some rooms where you've said, no, you know what, I don't want the Spirit in that part of my life. I still kind of like hanging on to that. The Spirit can never fill you to the point of overflowing. Are there areas in your life that you haven't surrendered? Maybe there's some attitudes, habits, or even fears. Or even good things that have taken God's place in your life. The Spirit's saying, let me fill that place. I desire to fill that place. But are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to open your heart and invite Him into that room in your heart and say, yeah, you know what? This habit, it's yours too. This attitude, I need you to replace that. Fears. I think one of the challenges that the church faces so much is fear. We fear so many things. I think we fear losing control. And I'm guilty of that. And that's an area of life that I surrender to God. And say, Spirit, fill that area for my need for control. Levi Lusco, in his book, I Declare War, says this: you become what you continually give your attention to. Isn't that right? We become what we continue to give our attention to. So, what would it look like today for you to say, Holy Spirit, fill me anew again today. Every part of me is yours. And I want to, in a moment, we're going to just spend a moment in prayer, right where you are. We're going to invite him to fill you afresh. So I want you in this moment of silence to consider, where is the Spirit inviting you to open your hands and say, yes, God, I surrender this to you. What are you holding on to that you need to surrender? That the area that you've been trying to keep your own control of? We do that. What area of your life have you been controlling instead of surrendering? In what corner of your heart is the Spirit asking you to fill today? Let's just take a moment and close our eyes, and then I'm gonna close in prayer and a benediction. Father, today right here we surrender that area to you that we've been hanging on to. But we know that we don't have to try harder. We know that through your Holy Spirit, you will give us the power and the strength to move through it. So thank you that we are not left on our own. God, I pray that we would have hearts that are surrendered to you, empowered so we can live in the fullness, in the joy, in the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Lord bless you.